Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Dr. Dustin Ahern, talking about the need for more slaughter capacity in the beef business in just a moment.
Cattle parasites don't break for summer, so your fight against them shouldn't either. With Safeguard feed formulations, keeping up that fight is easier than ever. Available in blocks, cubes, pellets, or free choice mineral, Safeguard feed formulations are the convenient, labor-saving way to deworm cattle on grass. Simply add it to your current feed and mineral program. No processing, no shoot, no added stress. And you can be confident cattle are getting the proper dose. Finbendazole, the active ingredient in Safeguard, stays in the parasite. So even cattle that eat small amounts of Safeguard over a few feedings will quickly build up to a dose that's lethal to the most damaging internal parasites. You know the ones, brown stomach worm, Cuperia, and Nematodiris, to name a few. Remember to consult your veterinarian for assistance in the diagnosis, treatment, and control of parasitism. Then visit SafeguardWorks.com and see how Safeguard from Merck Animal Health can help protect your cattle from monstrous parasites all season long.
Several outstanding speakers at this year's Feeding Quality Forum put on by Certified Angus Beef. Among those that were speaking, Dr. Dustin Ahern from Rabo Agri Finance, as he talked about Hindsight 2020, a look back at the black swan events that have hit the cattle industry hard, the Holcomb fire and the coronavirus pandemic. He says that one of the things that a lot of folks have concluded from these events,
we need to expand packing capacity in order to make the supply chain more resilient. While there's certainly, you know, some merit to that, the thing is supply chain resiliency alone cannot fuel expansion. It has to be driven by economics and profitability.
And Dr. Ahern says,
so how much added capacity do we need or could the industry use? From 2002 to 2019, the average percentage of Fed steer prices minus drop credit to comprehensive cutout was about 55%. In 2016, the average for that year was about 54%. So if the industry were to return to the leverage level of 2016, we'd need to add about 5,000 to 6,000 head of daily packing capacity. So where could this additional capacity come from? Number one, it could come from technology at existing plants. It's highly likely that the increased production cost, both from, you know, labor, wages, and potential regulatory oversight, are going to linger for some time and maybe even be permanent.
So the cheapest and probably the quickest way to get more slaughter capacity is to squeeze a little bit more out of existing facilities. But there's also the idea of building new plants.
Another potential would be smaller to medium-sized plants that really specialize in niche markets, talking 1,000 to 2,000 head daily capacity, that have really strong relationships across the entire supply chain with cattle feeders, with end-product users, and, you know, really work to manage that supply chain closely and hope that the added value in the product they're producing, you know, can outweigh the potential inefficiencies with smaller plants to allow them to compete with the larger, more efficient plants. And it's not cheap. We estimate about $100 to $120 million investment per 1,000 head of capacity. And if we recall that cyclical nature of the beef industry, we have to have enough capital to survive a full cattle cycle. If we start building a plant today, by the time that plant's up and running, we're probably going to be in a tighter cattle supply situation compared to where we are at and with peak cattle supplies in 2019 and early 2020. So something to keep in mind.
As Dr. Ahern wrapped up his presentation at the Feeding Quality Forum, he reminded those involved in this digital event that the cattle industry needs to be flexible, needs to stay nimble in order to stay ahead of all the changes that are out there.
The beef industry has really capitalized on a lot of successes over the last couple of decades. We've gained export market access. We've really improved genetics and increased meat product quality. But we can't simply rest on past successes. We have to really be focused on the consumer, being ready to innovate and be creative, because, you know, if history's making changes and jumps, we don't want to be be caught flat-footed. And in the this industry, with the long production cycle, we need to be thinking 5 to 10 years out, you know, because in reality, that's only a couple generations of beef cattle.
Dr. Dustin Ahern, animal protein analyst with Rabo AgriFinance. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
Smith's Gold is an OSU wheat variety developed from the legendary Gallagher variety that's sure to pin down many of the challenges that wheat farmers face. First, Smith's Gold offers better canopy hygiene, longer grazing, and even better baking quality. Smith's Gold also provides Hessian fly and green bug resistance and has longer lasting resistance to stripe rust. It also provides great flavor in whole wheat products from pasta to pizza. Smith's Gold is another in OSU's Grazing Grain and Golden Grain wheat varieties widely preferred by millers. Log on to okgenetics.com to learn more.
And that's your Beef Buzz. Have a great day, everybody. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.